Okay, so I want to share with you to connect with that song that says, I'm a son, I'm a child of God, I'm free. So I want to share with you this morning that revival is now. Revival is now. Let's say it, revival is now. Okay, so I'm going to share a few things that I believe is going to shift your mindset. So let's say it, this morning, God's going to shift my mindset. In Jesus' name. Okay, come on. Okay, so Christianity. So you see there, this morning is actually now the start of the Revive series, actually. The race has just been warm up. Now we're going to get into it. Okay, the race has been warm up. This morning we're going to dive in. I'm going to share with you how to dive into the supernatural. Okay, so you're ready to dive into the supernatural. Say amen. Okay, we can do this. Okay, so Christianity is the discovery. It's the discovery of who you are and what you already have in Christ. Christianity is the discovery of who you are and what you already have in Christ. So we're going to go into a little bit of discovery this morning. I'm going to share with you five ways to dive into the supernatural. And it's linked to your identity as a child of God. It's linked to your identity. So I listened to some teachings by Stephen Wendy Backlund, and they shared about the power of declarations, of speaking, the power in your words, the power in your tongue. The Bible says, for life or death is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And so there's life in the power of the tongue. And so they said there was a scientific study done on they put sensors on a guy's body, and they told the guy to say, I am weak. I am weak. And then they say they could pick up on the sensors that is like the muscles and everything in the body is preparing for weakness. So that's why rugby teams, just before they go onto the rugby field, we are weak. We're going to fail. We suck. Let's do this. No. You go, the rugby team, the guys say, tell them why we're going to kill the other guys and why we are the best. But there's power in the words we speak. It actually affects. It's like a natural law that impacts and affects our bodies, our hearts, our minds. So when you speak something, you are releasing something for God to use, or opposite side, the devil to use. So if you release life, you're giving God something to work with. Okay, so this morning, we're going to give God something to work with. I'm going to have you do a few declarations. Say yay. And they also did a study, and they found that it's about renewing of the mind. You do a declaration also primarily for yourself to shift your mindset. If you renew your mind today, you will transform your tomorrow. So if you shift your mindset today, you will change your future. You'll change your tomorrow. So they've also found that when you put a bit of emotion into it, you're going to renew your mind quicker compared to, I am a child of God. Doesn't really feel like anything shifting over there. But when you say, I am a child of God, is when you put some emotion into it, it actually speeds up the transformation process, the renewal process of your mind. Okay, so you need to put some emotion into it as well this morning. Are you ready? Say yeah. Yeah. Come on, yeah, yes. Come on, put it in there. We're going to do this. Okay, so give God something to work with. Give God something to work with. So let's say it. God is setting me free today. A little bit more passion. Come on. God is setting me free today. Let's do it. Yes, come on. Come on. I can really feel a shift. We feel a shift in the atmosphere. Come on. Okay, so I'm going to give you five ways to dive into the supernatural. The first one is revival is now. Revival is now. Revival is now. If you simply discover who you are in Christ, you will release revival. You will release life to those around you. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, 14 to 15, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change your thinking, change your heart, turn your heart to God, but also change your way of thinking and believe. For what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So how far is the kingdom? Let's stretch forth our hands. Come on, that's how far the kingdom is. It is within reach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand right now to those who are willing to believe, those who will repent instead of turning their way of thinking to align up with the word of God. So the kingdom of heaven is always at hand for a son of God or a daughter of God. It's always. I'm going to share with you about the sons of God. So I also want to share, I know there's some new people here that haven't been with us the whole journey, but about 3 years ago, we came to a point that we realized that I realized I have a theology that God is powerful, but I don't have experience that God is powerful. So the first 3 years ago, I was 10 years in the ministry. I maybe see one or two people physically healed in those 10 years. And now looking back, I realized there was so much rubbish in my thinking. There were so many lies that I was embracing in my thinking that it was binding me. Revival wasn't now. Revival was maybe 50 years from now. That was the mindset. And what happened was, you know, with Sonica for the first 3 years that we've been in East London, after Vian was born, but 6 months later, Sonica started to battle to sleep for about 3 years. It was just chaos. I was up every night. I tell you, I mean, she would get into bed 8:30 at night, and around 3 o'clock, she'd still be awake. And you know, day in, day out, that's a crisis. That's a nightmare. So I'm up in the evenings and I'm praying for my wife. I'm laying hands on her and I'm trusting God. I'm rebuking every devil in hell. I've rebuked every devil you can imagine. And I had to face the fact that my theology says God is powerful, but my experience doesn't show it at all. And so it was actually a God thing in the end. You see, God doesn't send those things, but He uses it. Do you know what if the devil writes a biography, do you know what it would be called? It backfired again. It backfired again. God is so good. He's so able to turn bad things into good. It almost seems as if he sent the bad. And so in our case, it felt like we experienced all this bad, but then God used it. I became absolutely desperate that God, we need your power. And I remember in April 3 years ago, 2012, middle April 3 years ago, I preached a message. And I preached on the power of God. And I told everybody, guys, we're going to pursue the power of God because he is powerful. What does it matter? You have good theology, but your hope levels, your joy levels, your faith levels is shocking. So many people have good theology, but they lack the experience of the power of God. And so I preached that Sunday. I proclaimed we serve a God of power. And then praise Jesus, Ashley went jogging the next day, I think. She went jogging. A car hit her. She rolled over the bonnet and then went home. And then I saw her the Tuesday, and the whole side of her body was like really sore. She was walking like a very old, very, very old person. Couldn't touch the side of her body. Tuesday night, some of the people in church went to her, prayed for her. She had an encounter with God, a clap sound in her hip. And when she got up, she was completely healed. There were still bruises. Next morning when she got up, there were no bruises. No bruises. And she went on a hike that weekend. Man, it made my month. I was like, yes, I proclaimed God to be powerful. I didn't have the guts to do it in church. But the next day, Ashley was hit by the car. Thank you, Jesus. So again, something bad happened, but it backfired. God used it to launch me. I ran with that testimony for months. All I had, but I ran with it. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. Just one little breakthrough. And so the Lord started to work, and so we're praying for Sonica, and in 2012 we had 4 people healed. Sonica was one of them. I was, wow, a breakthrough. End of 2012, we had a meeting. God spoke to me and said, healing is going to, there's going to outpouring of healing that's coming. So in 2013, we have 100 people physically healed. In 2014, we had 191 people physically healed. And if you add everybody together, I mean, this week I spoke to our missions guys. That 3 people got healed this week when they prayed for them. God is doing something. Don't know if you're seeing it, but I'm seeing that God is doing something. He's changing. If I look back 3 years ago, I was in, it is just scary how many lies I believed about myself, about the kingdom of God, how bound I was. And so I want to share with you this morning a few keys to break through. But revival is now. If it shifts in your head, if you realize who you are in Christ, you will release revival right now. You see, revival began 2,000 years ago at Pentecost. That's where revival started. And it's amazing to see testimonies of people. Every time the shift in their minds come, oh, God is powerful and he can work through me. Boom. Things start happening. Lives start changing. So God is working. And so a testimony is saying to God, God, do it again. So if I can move into the supernatural, and many of us have here has as well, you can too. So let's say it. If Andre can dive into the supernatural, so can I. Amen. Come on. That's good. That is good. You see, but what's happening is that the moment I tell you that there's these arguments in your head telling you why not. No, it's not for me. I'm not that good. I'm not that special. I haven't prayed enough. I don't qualify. Do you know my past? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what Jesus has done for you? Do you have any idea the victory that Christ won at the cross? You have any idea? So a baby, let's think about a baby for a moment. A baby, like a 1-year-old, say let's do a 1.5-year-old. Where does the baby get his or her identity? Now if we could go into the head of a little baby, they think, well, I have never walked. I'm probably not destined to walk. God sovereignly decided I will not walk. Oh my, and all the other little ones, they're also not walking. What's wrong? Probably we're not destined to walk. And so that's what many Christians are doing. They're finding themselves, they are born into the kingdom of God, but they're born into an environment of unbelief. All the other Christians, they're also crawling. They're adults, but they're crawling. They have all the muscles. They have all the ability to stand up and run, but they're crawling. Why? Because they've been deceived. They've embraced lies. They've allowed their past to determine their identity. They've allowed the people around them to determine their identity instead of the Word of God. So I will tell you, we have adult Christians crawling when they were destined by God to walk and to run. A baby has been designed to walk. Would you agree? A born-again Christian has been designed to walk in the supernatural. A born-again Christian has been designed to walk in the supernatural. Because you are born again. You are a new creation. If any idea what that means, you're not the old you. You are a new creation. You are now a what? A son of God. You are a daughter of God. Let's say it. I am a son of God. Gender doesn't matter. It's like an identity. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. It's an identity that God has shifted us into, each and every one of us. The moment we call upon the name of Jesus, we are born again. And there's a shift that happens on the inside. A shift that happens. Just as a baby is designed to walk, every born again believer is designed to walk in the supernatural. So let's say, I am designed to walk in the supernatural. Okay, a little bit more passion. I am. You are. That's awesome. That's profound. In Christ you are. Let's try that again. I am designed to walk in the supernatural. Revival is now. Come on, come on. You can do this. Well done. Yes. But it's amazing how people would fight for their hopelessness. So if you share with them, no, there's always hope in God. No, God wants to turn your situation. God wants to set you free. Then they immediately, no. You don't understand how bad my circumstances are. You don't understand. Let's be realistic. It's amazing. Wendy Backlund says, someone told her that be realistic. And then she says, God spoke to her and said, I did not call you to be realistic. I have called you to be supernatural. Do you think David was being realistic as a boy chasing down Goliath, screaming at him, saying, I'm going to cut down your head. I'm going to chop off your head. He didn't even have a sword, but I'm going to chop your head off. Is that realistic? That's not realistic. That's supernatural. That's raw faith, knowing God's going to back me. When I step out, God backs me. When I risk it, God backs me. So revival is now. And so a boy or a girl, they receive their identity from their Heavenly Father. So we are supposed to receive our identity from our Father, saying, my boy, I've called you to walk in the supernatural. Now just look at your older brother Jesus. Okay, now there's a good example. Older brother Jesus. Now just go read a little bit about what he did. Now that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Authority over evil. Authority over lack. Just multiply the bread. Hey, walk on water. Authority reigning over nature. Jesus, I want to walk on water. Yeah, that would rock my world. That would be amazing. Why not? I've read testimonies of revivals in Indonesia, I think it was, in the 60s. And the people literally walked over rivers that were flooding. So God is able. Let's say it, God is able. Come on. So what is freedom? You are truly free when you realize who you are in Christ. You are truly free when you realize who you are in Christ. For a son of God, revival is at hand right now. For a son of God, revival is just this far. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right now. Right now. Okay. Praise Jesus. Do you know that the devil is terrified of you finding out who you are? The devil's terrified of you finding out who you are. So there's all these arguments. So I want to expose those arguments in your head. All the excuses why you can't. All the excuses why you shouldn't walk in the power of God. So the first one is revival is now. The second one is step into His presence. So each one of these keys on its own is going to lead you into the supernatural. Just realize who you are in Christ. You're going to see the supernatural. Another way of stepping into the fullness of God is His presence. About same thing about 3 years ago. For the first 10 years of ministry, I lacked lots of joy. Ministry wasn't fun. The church was growing, but it wasn't fun. And I had to acknowledge, I came to a point where I acknowledged, God, I'm living outside of your presence. I'm trying to do things in my own ability. And so Sonic and I started to make the shift. We said, no, we're gonna start worshiping God. You see, because when you worship God, it's like you shift the atmosphere. When you worship God, it's like you rip open the heavenlies. And the presence of God comes upon you and fills you and strengthens you. The presence of God, everything flows from the presence of God. So when you can sense it when we worship like this morning, you can sense something shifting, something's changing, something's opening up. It's the presence of God that is touching lives, touching our hearts. And so the last few weeks, I just felt God saying, drink of my presence. Drink of my presence. It's like, you can, if you dive into the river, if you drink of His presence, then suddenly His presence starts flowing through you and touching other people and changing lives. I mean, that's what happened to Jesus. You know, the lady with the flow of blood for something like 10 years, 12 years, she came to Jesus from behind and touched the hem of His garment. And He felt power released from His body and she was healed. That's amazing. So you know the verse that says in the Bible, you shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So when the sons of God lays hands on the sick, they will recover. But I want to take it further. When the sick lays hands on the sons of God, they will recover because power will flow forth from their bodies and heal them. Does it sound crazy? Happened to Jesus. Happened to Paul. Just a piece of cloth from his body was sent to people and they would get healed. A son of God, a daughter of God. It flows. Everything flows out of identity. Look at these verses. I'm just going to mention them to you. But in 1 John 2:27, it says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you." What's an anointing? The anointing represents the presence of God. The anointing is a divine influence that's resting upon your life to shift and change lives. So it says, the anointing which you have received abides in you and upon you. Isn't that powerful? So a son has an anointing that abides. A daughter of God has an anointing that abides. Let's say, I have an anointing that abides. You see, but a slave says, I must work for it. I must fast for it. I must pray for it. And I haven't done it. Not enough. I'm not perfect enough. I'm not going to receive it. That's the slave mentality. I have to work for it. A son mentality is, I have an anointing that abides. Even when I don't feel it, even when I don't feel anointed, I am anointed. You see, if you would believe that you are powerful in Jesus Christ, you will be powerful. All things are possible to him who believes. Say amen. Come on. Cast out those arguments that says why it's not for you. Cast out those things that says it's not for you. A son abides in the house forever. We're talking about the presence of God. Look at this verse, John chapter 8, 35 to 36. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. A slave, not in the house. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So a son of God, a daughter of God, abides in the presence 24/7 by faith. So I'm starting to say it, devil cannot oppress me. Nothing can disconnect my relationship with God. I'm a son. I will abide in the house forever. Let's say it, I will abide in the house of God, in his presence forever. Amen. But a slave can only enter the house every now and again if they've done all their work. Then maybe they can come and enter that house. And so many of us have that slave mentality. We come to church on a Sunday and we're like, oh no, I didn't have a good week. I don't qualify. Don't qualify for a blessing. I'm not good enough for the hand of God to touch me. I shouldn't be excited in worship. You know, I'm a bad person, you know. But you've committed your life to Jesus. No, you're a son. The Father is saying, come. Start declaring this over your life, that I dwell 24/7 in the presence of God. 24/7. I'm always in his presence. It's always open heavens over my life. And it changes things. It changes things. And then it says there, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The slave says, that's for other people. Freedom doesn't mean freedom from depression. Freedom doesn't mean freedom from fear or lack. No, it says when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. How does the Son set you free? He says to you who you are in him and what you have in him. Let's say the Son is setting me free. Right now. Come on. In Jesus' name. So you can turn your heart to his presence right now. Right now. You can just, on the inside, you can just turn your heart, become aware of his presence. At any time, you can walk into a Satanist dungeon and you can just turn your heart and be in his presence. Nothing can touch you. In His presence, in His presence. So firstly, revival is now. Secondly, step into His presence and let His life flow through you by faith, not by emotion. I'm not anointed when I feel anointed. I am anointed because I have an anointing that abides. Same with you. Same with you. So you can at any time step into the supernatural. Okay, thirdly, partner with God. What's the underlying belief for this? God is always working. You need to believe that God is always working. Let's say it. God is always working. God is always working. At home, at work, in your neighborhood, in the supermarket, God is always working. The only challenge is you need to become aware of what God is doing. You need to become aware. You need to be so that you can partner with Him. So again, this third one, it can stand on its own. I have seen it so many times. I make an altar call for sick people. I don't have a word of knowledge. People get healed. So you don't need a word of knowledge. But a word of knowledge gives you supernatural connection with what God is doing right now. It increases faith. It like opens up those sluice gates of the supernatural even more. I mean, a year ago, May last year, Sonica had a word of knowledge. She felt there's someone here that fell off a horse. I was thinking, oh Jesus, I hope someone fell off a horse. And then Yolinda came forward, and she has had 8 years of continuous back pain, basically, for 8 years, at night, during the day. And then Sonica prayed with her, and God healed her. In Jesus' name. That same night, she slept for the first time in 8 years with no pain. Go, Jesus. Jesus heals. Jesus sets free, whatever it might be. When the Son sets you are free indeed. It was amazing, even just the words of knowledge I shared over the last month or so, how many people came and spoke to me afterwards at different times saying, that was for me. But it was like shameful stuff. So that was for me. That was for me. So God went and pressed the button on people's lives. So God is always working, and He's working right now. He's working right now in your heart. He's shifting your mindset right now. There's a shift coming, busy happening on the inside of you right now. God is working. He's always working. And the belief that connects with this is that for a son of God, God is always speaking. For a daughter of God, God is always speaking. So if you ask Him, but you come with faith, Father, I thank you, you hear me, you speak to me, then He will speak to you. So He's always speaking. A slave mentality says, God isn't going to speak to me. Well, He has never spoken to me. You know, I'm that baby, adult baby crawling on the ground. And I don't have the muscles. Can't do it. Well, if you believe you don't, then you don't. But if you believe the word of God, it will set you free. If you believe the truth, it will set you free. I am not the same man as 3 years ago. What's the change? Lies were exposed. Truth has settled in my heart. And I believe that God has called us to lead people to walk into the supernatural. To set people free, to show churches across the body of Christ how to flow in the full fivefold ministry. This morning I'm speaking about the apostolic flow, the supernatural, the super demonstrating of the Spirit and of power. So ask the Lord, what are you doing, God? I know you're working. What are you doing? Show me, speak to me. Speak to me. I mean, I'm just thinking of even when we did a service in Pretoria, at Shofar Pretoria, loads of people came forward and we prayed for people. People got healed and set free. But I remember the one guy, I prayed for him, and he said he was a year and a half a Christian, and he was in drugs and alcohol and things before that time, before he became a Christian. And he says he's just incredibly tired. It's like he just asleep the whole time. It's just terrible. He can't break out of this. And he says he doesn't know if he's had it before because he was so drunk, he can't remember if he was tired or not. And so we prayed for him, and the presence of God came and hit him. He fell down on the ground. He lay there about 10, 15 minutes. When he got up, he said, "Yeah, I feel great." A week later, I followed up with him, and he says, "Words cannot describe the change in my life. Not tired anymore." He is free. When the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. Let's say it. When the sun sets me free, I am free indeed. Amen. Come on. So what is prophecy? Prophecy is a word that God speaks to one's heart and you release it over someone. It's God's heart revealed to a person or to persons. And it's warfare because it's actually coming against the lies that are in people's minds. It's coming against the lies. I mean, I'm thinking of over the last few years, just prophetic words coming to me and think, kan het wees? And then it starts happening. Then God starts moving and changing lives. And so the power of prophecy in Jesus' name. So I want to prophesy over a few people quickly. Hallelujah. Brett, please stand. Hallelujah. You see, it's easy to do this when you're all alone and no one's hearing. It's a different thing when you step out and you say, "God, I'm going to release a prophetic word over someone." Hallelujah. I just sense God is saying to you that you are a mighty man of valor, as he said to Gideon. And I just sense that the things of your past, things that's happened in your past, it's defined a large component of how you see yourself. And I believe God is saying to you, "I want to show you who you really are." And so I just sense the Lord is going to raise you up. I believe God is saying there's a rich legacy upon your life, spiritual legacy. And the Lord has not forgotten. It is still there. The gift, the calling, the anointing that's on your family, it's resting upon your life. And I believe God is saying he's calling you back to it. You've in a sense walked away. You've in a sense stepped away. And I just sense God is saying he wants you to step back to it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I just see a picture of you like a soldier. I see you've stepped away from all the weapons of warfare like the shield and the sword and I'm seeing you stepping back to it and starting to put on the full armor of God. And I just hear the word impact. Brett, I really feel God is saying there's going to come a great impact through your life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can just release your blessing over him right now, that he would be raised up, that he would return to his family legacy. Anointing, blessing, gifting. And I just sense God's going to supernaturally raise you up. Going to give you incredible boldness and confidence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is not pre-planned. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. Hallelujah. Dane, stand, brother. Hallelujah. I just sense God is saying that you have dreams in your heart that you've had from you were small, dreams of being more, dreams of greatness, dreams of doing great things for God. And I just sense God is saying those dreams are of him. Those dreams are of him. God has placed them on the inside of you, that desire to do great things for him. Hallelujah. And so I just sense God is breathing life on those dreams. I see a picture of the Holy Spirit coming, like breathing, even on the dry bones, the Holy Spirit coming to breathe upon those bones and bringing new life. So I believe the Holy Spirit's going to breathe upon you. It's going to renew you, strengthen you, and going to cause those dreams to come alive in Jesus' name. And I just sense that the influence will be way beyond this city. just really sense that God's going to do things through you that is going to impact beyond this city and beyond this nation. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that when you do things, you do it right. Hallelujah. And I also just sense that God's gonna father you. He's going to father you in a way that you've not experienced before. And it's going to unlock your identity and your destiny. And it's going to launch you forward. So dream again. Dream again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So yeah, if there's something else that God wants to do. Sean Starnbull. Hallelujah. I just sense that there's been an assignment from the enemy against your identity, an assignment to try and bring despair. And I just sense God is saying that what the devil has sent, I'm going to turn around for my good. And I sense God is saying that you are significant. You are significant in His kingdom. And you are significant in His heart. In Jesus' name. Father, we worship you. And I just have this impression, I just hear the word missions. Just sense even as God has given you a heart for missions, I sense God's going to restore that passion for missions. And so I just sense God has called you to go places and to bring His life and His blessing. So I just see a picture of you with a river of life flowing forth through you. A river of life, releasing life and bringing life even to nations across the earth. Peoples across the earth. Since God is saying you are more than what you think. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, just for this apostolic grace upon Sean's life, Lord, to bring life to wherever, whenever, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I sense God's going to make you strong in this season. He's going to make you strong in this season. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I really feel that God is wanting to release a confidence upon us. Even as I am releasing prophetic words, if something resonates in your heart, you can say, God, I'm claiming that that's for me. In Jesus' name. But to just have that prophetic flow, just to that prophetic grace upon your life. One word from God can transform you forever. Transform you forever. Okay, so the third one there is partner with God. Fourth one, use the keys that God has given you. It amplifies the grace for the supernatural. It amplifies the grace. Matthew 16, Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. I give you the keys of the kingdom. You know, it's like the devil was having a party in hell. Jesus has just been crucified. They're having a big party. Yeah, we won. Yeah, we won. Suddenly knock at the door. Jesus, give back my keys. I've come to take my keys. Again, it backfired again. It's been said that if the devil knew that crucifying Jesus would result in what it has resulted, he would have killed everybody trying to kill Jesus. But it didn't click. That going to the cross was the key to defeat all of the evil on this on the face of the earth, to take back those keys. But then God has come and given us the keys. He says, now use the keys. Use the keys that I've given to you. What are the keys? One of the keys is to proclaim, to make a proclamation. When you declare that Jesus is a healer, then He's going to heal. The power of a testimony. One testimony. When you share, God, this is what God has done, then you open, you increase the floodgates of grace, you release faith in people's hearts, and then God does it again. A testimony is, God, do it again. Let's say it, God, do it again. So don't underestimate what God has already done in your life, the smallest to the greatest thing. So take the keys. Use the keys that he's given to you. And then thirdly, to command. To command. Command healing or freedom or deliverance. Just speak the word. If you look at Jesus, the Son of God, he would just speak. People would be healed in different places or delivered. He would just declare it. And we've had a few situations or in this church where I just spoke healing and people experienced a heat running down their spine, their back, and they were instantly healed. As Roselda's mom is a good example of. After 20 years of significant back pain and problems, same day she was healed. Could do things she couldn't do for a while without pain. So you can just speak it. You can just speak the word. Let's say it. I can just speak the word. You can just speak it, and heaven will back you. Heaven will back you. Heaven will back you. A slave says, I don't have it now. I don't have these things, but maybe one day I will have it when I qualify for God's blessings. A son has already received all of heaven's resources. Look at this verse. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father. That's amazing, eh? Eskom doesn't do us, then we do ourselves. This verse in Ephesians 1 verse 3. I'm almost finished. Just want to finish this off, and then we're going to trust God to move powerfully in our midst. It says that in Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Say, has blessed us. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That verse says God has blessed you. Already, past tense, you have been given all the blessings in heaven. So let's say it. I have received all the resources of heaven. In Jesus' name. But a slave comes and says, I don't have it. And I probably will never have it. And maybe one day I'll have it. A son says, God, I thank you. I have it. I have it. I have it now. And I remember when we were in India, it was the most amazing meeting 2 years ago in Mumbai, praying about a boy that was mute. He spoke for the first time since birth. And just loads of stuff were happening. I mean, Rion was praying for people. And it was just like everybody we prayed for, it seems, got healed. Just felt like it. And I remember that evening I was at the place we were staying. I was just praying and thinking like, wow, God, this is just amazing. It was just mind-boggling. And then it's like a thunderous voice on the inside of me said to me, he always shows up when the electricity goes off. In Jesus' name. It is on. It's blue. When it's blue, it's good. Just to get back to my story. I was that evening thinking as we saw these incredible healings and things happening, I was like asking God, what gifts have you given to us? And I heard this thunderous voice on the inside saying, I've given it all to you. I have given it all to you. Every gift in the heavenly places, he has already given it to us. By faith, you can access it. And then was this prophetic guy from Canada, prophet from Canada. And he prophesied over us and said, you guys, your church will be ridiculously good at flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. So say, that's me. Yes, that's me. Come on. So command healing. And then lastly, risk it. Risk it. Step out. The victory is to risk it. The victory isn't the eventual victory, because the victory will come. But to risk it, to step out, that is the victory. That is the victory. I mean, I'm thinking back of over the last few years, we stepped out. Some of those times I felt I was dying, go, God, please pitch. But there are times I just know he's going to move powerfully right now. And then he does. Every time I call for healing, people get healed. Every time. So I'm starting to say it. Every time I call for people to be healed, they are healed. And so you need to know as a son of God or daughter of God, you are always heard. A son is always heard. A slave, I'm just battling to get an appointment with a master. But a son is always heard. A son is always heard. Look at this, Jesus, John chapter 11, verse 41. Just before he raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I thank you that you always hear me. Let's say it, you always hear me. Jesus wasn't arrogant. He was confident as a son of the Most High God. Father, I thank you that you always hear me. That same confidence is available to you and me as sons and daughters of God. You must just address the lies in your head and fill your heart with the Word of God, with truth, with faith. Risk it. John Wimber said, I just stick out my fat hand and say, come Holy Spirit. John Wimber was the founder of the Vineyard Church movement. I just stick out my fat hand and say, come Holy Spirit. God does the rest. I won't be proud when people are healed. I won't feel like a failure if nobody gets healed, because it is all God. It is all God. And we need to celebrate risk. Yeah, you stepped out. Awesome. He wasn't raised from the dead, but it's okay. You stepped out. Cool. How are people going to be raised from the dead if you never pray for dead people? Doctors? Now, we had an amazing account at Shofar Worcester. There's a doctor there that put the testimony on shofaronline.org or shofaronline.tv. And they were resuscitating. She's a doctor, and they were resuscitating the lady for something like 45-plus minutes. And then she fell to pray in the spirit. She prayed in the spirit, and suddenly this lady popped up. And they interviewed her as well. I mean, she's a medical doctor, so she should know what she's talking about. But also, the unbelieving mindset will deny any evidence, any form of evidence. And one of the other ways to risk it is to test it. When you pray for someone, tell them right now, test your body now. Test it. Boom. Come on. Often you release grace when you don't just walk away and like, oh, I hope so. Don't want to check. Come on. Sometimes only on the third time we pray for people, they get healed. Test it. It releases. It releases grace. It releases. You dive into the supernatural when you actually test it, when you risk it. Okay, to summarize, and then we're going to pray for some people. Yeah, I really feel God wants to set us free. Worship team, come forward. Conclusion, five things there. I'm going to highlight the five things for you. So first of all, revival is now. Okay, say it. Revival is now. Okay, so for a son or a daughter of God, revival is now, it is at hand. Secondly, step into his presence. A son abides in the presence of God continuously. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to worship for 5 hours to get into the presence of God. You just turn your heart and you are in his presence. A son abides. A daughter abides in his presence, in the house forever. Thirdly, partner with God. For a son, God is always working. For a son, God is always speaking. Always. Fourthly, use the keys of the kingdom. A son has already received, a son or daughter has already received all the resources of heaven. It's yours already. Boom. Fifthly, risk it. Risk it. Step out. A son is always heard in heaven. Hallelujah.